Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
Tchiyas HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead. Why this is the foundation of everything. There's a question that haunts every thinking person who contemplates the world honestly. If this is all there is, birth, struggle, death, then what is the point? Why does the righteous person suffer? Why do the wicked prosper? Why did 6 million of our people go to the gas chambers? Where is justice? The answer to every one of these questions, and to all of creation itself, is Tchiyas HaMeisim, the resurrection of the dead. And as we will discover, this is not merely a comforting belief about the afterlife. It is the very engine, the cosmic machinery by which Hashem is running the entire world at every moment. Before we can understand the depth of Tchiyas HaMeisim, we must lay the groundwork. There is a famous dispute between two of the greatest Rishonim, the Rambam and the Ramban, regarding the ultimate eternal state, and it shapes everything that follows. The Ramban Shaar HaGmul, together with all the Mekubalim, teaches the following. When a person dies, the neshama, the soul, departs the body and ascends to Gan Eden. But this is only a temporary resting place, an interim state of exquisite sweetness and closeness to Hashem. Yet, it is not the final destination. The true, eternal, final state comes only after Tchiyas HaMeisim. The neshama will return to the body. Body and soul will be reunited forever. This will be the eternal reality. But with one profound difference. The body will no longer be the coarse, physicality-bound entity we inhabit today. As the Malbim explains, the neshama being a chelik eloika, literally a fragment of the divine, it always has the capacity to perceive and commune with Hashem. The problem is the guf, the body, which acts as a chitzetz, a blocker, an interference that prevents the neshama, the soul, from fully tuning in to the divine frequency. The Nevi'im, the prophets, were individuals who had cultivated the ability to partially tune in despite the body. Even during sleep, when the body becomes temporarily unconscious, the soul can sometimes receive a dream with a degree of prophetic perception. But after the resurrection, the body will be so completely purified and elevated that not only will it cease to be a blocker, it will become an enhancer. As the Meshech Chochmah elaborates in Parashas Lech Lecha, and really that's the Madrege of Koran Oyer Pnei Moshe, as the Meshech Chochmah elaborates in the preface to Sefer Shmos, each limb, each organ of the resurrected body will become a powerful spiritual antenna, amplifying the neshama's capacity to perceive different dimensions of closeness to Hashem. And this is the Meshech Chochmah, how he teaches that this will be the state of eternal bliss. Mipsori echeze eloika, from my new basar of Tchiyas HaMeisim, from my new body, I'll be able to perceive Hashem a lot more than what I perceived in Gan Eden. The Rambam, by contrast, holds that Tchiyas HaMeisim is a temporary, one-time event. The soul needs a final opportunity to visit the physical world because exile and the struggles of this world made it impossible to achieve true spiritual perfection during one's lifetime. So one returns to do the mitzvahs that were missed, to perfect character, to perfect intellect, and then the soul ascends again, this time permanently, to a purely spiritual Gan Eden. For the Rambam, it is this disembodied spiritual existence that is the true eternal Olam Haba. And yet, when we probe the Rambam's position carefully, we find that even he agrees the body cannot remain in its current coarse physicality. So really, the Ramban who agrees that the body won't be physical anymore, and the world will have been purified and transformed into a sublime holy state, into a higher and more pure, pristine reality than what was paradise, Gan Eden, for the souls in the time when they depart this world. So then, it'll be a world of souls down here with the physical body, but it won't be physical anymore, according to the Rambam. So somehow that merges with the Rambam's Shita, because the Rambam also agrees they won't be eating and drinking with this physical body, and the physical body will have a completely different meaning. As Chazal teach us that after 6,000 years, Hashem will renew the world in a state of extraordinary purity, and down here on earth will be more sublime, more holy, more permeated with divine presence than even the higher spiritual worlds. Or perhaps all the worlds will merge into one unified eternity. The Gemara in Sanhedrin addresses someone who doubted Tchias HaMesim. And the Gemara says, May the loy have something that never existed before came into being after 9 months in his mother's womb. Certainly, May the have something that already existed once can surely exist again. This is not merely a rhetorical point. It contains a profound secret about the nature of human birth. Think about it. A mother eats potatoes, vegetables, and bread. Through digestion and biology, those carbohydrates and proteins are somehow assembled into a complete human being, a child with eyes, a brain, a unique personality. How does that happen? Who is the architect? The Ari HaKadosh teaches us the neshama, the soul, is the architect. The neshama is the invisible machine that wraps a physical body around itself during those 9 months in the womb. The soul itself possesses remach evorim v'shesa gidim ruchniyim, 248 spiritual organs and 365 spiritual sinus, a spiritual blueprint that mirrors the physical body. And the neshama uses this blueprint to construct, step by step, division of cell after cell division, one after the other, and it wraps a precise body around itself. This is why every person is unique. One person is gifted in music, another in mathematics. One is naturally, socially reserved, and one has a particular sensitivity, another has a particular strength. These are not accidents of genetics alone. These characteristics reflect the specific spiritual makeup of each neshama and what the neshama needs to accomplish. And the neshama selects and constructs the exact physical body it requires for the mission it needs to accomplish in this lifetime. And therefore, the Gemara's argument is irrefutable. If the neshama proved once that it has the power to construct a body, assembling it from the raw materials of food and biology, then it can certainly do so again. This time, it will simply draw directly from the minerals of the earth. The neshama did it before. It will do it again. Now we arrive at the deepest teaching, and it comes from the Leshem, the towering Kabbalist of Shlomo Eliashiv, together with the Tanya, the Bala Tanya. The Leshem poses a devastating question. Look at history. For a few brief years during Shlomo HaMelech's reign, there was serenity in Klal Yisrael. A few short years of peace, spiritual greatness, the Beis HaMikdash in full glory. Everything else, exile, sin, suffering, destruction, persecution, Holocaust. If you were an outside observer looking at the grand sweep of human history, you might conclude this entire creation is one gigantic failure. So let us ask directly, was Hashem's plan a failure? The answer the Leshem gives us is magnificent. And it completely transforms how we understand Tchias HaMesim, and indeed how we understand every moment of existence. We say in davening, in our daily prayers, Mechaye Mason, Ato, in the present tense, Hashem is actively resurrecting the dead, ongoing. He will be Mechaye. We say Mechaye, he is right now in the active business of resurrection. What does this mean? Tchis HaMesim is not just a future one-time event at the end of days. It is a continuous, ongoing cosmic process that is happening at every moment. Here is the secret. We look at the world and see a seamless, continuous creation. The same world today that was here yesterday. But if we had spiritual eyeglasses, if we could see reality as it truly is, we would see something astonishing. At every single moment, Hashem is streaming fresh energy of existence into the world. The world is not self-sustaining. It does not run on its own. Every fraction of a second, Hashem pumps new shefa, new divine energy that turns into matter, turns into existence, turns into life. Without this continuous streaming, the world would simply cease. This means the 6,000 years of world history are not one continuous block of time. They are 6,000 years worth of streams, billions upon billions of individual pulses of energy, each one a fresh act of creation. Now here's the key. What happens to each pulse of energy? When a Yid, a Jewish person, or a tzaddik before Matan Torah, uses the energy of the world to serve Hashem, to learn Torah, to perform a mitzvah, to act with kindness, that person takes that pulse of divine energy and sanctifies it. They shoot it back upward to its source in the highest spheres of holiness. That energy is now transformed into something eternal. It never dies. It becomes permanent, crystallized, frozen into eternity. Think of it like Rosh Hashanah morning. At the moment of Kedusha of Musaf, Klal Yisrael around the world is calling out to Hashem simultaneously. At that moment, the Shefach Yisrael Lamois, the pulse of existence that Hashem is streaming into the world, is swept up by that collective Avodah and returned to its source. That fraction of creation is sanctified. But immediately, the next pulse arrives, and the next, and we don't see the tikkun, the repair. Because by the time the next pulses come in, we've already moved on. The tikkun happens too fast for us to perceive. Now imagine this process playing out across all 6,000 years. Every pulse of energy that Klal Yisrael through Torah mitzvahs and Mesiras Nefesh has sanctified and returned to its source. Every act of kindness, every page of Gemara, every prayer said with kavana, with intent, every act of self-sacrifice, every moment of suffering accepted with emunah. Each one of these has returned a fragment of creation's energy back to the infinite. When all this has been accomplished, when all 6,000 years of divine energy streaming have been sanctified and gathered, then suddenly the pasuk says, "Pisoim yavoi el heicholoi ha'adoim asher atem mevakshim." Suddenly, Hashem will reveal Himself. The nigla koyd Hashem, the glory of Hashem is unveiled. And all of that energy, all those trillions of sacred moments will come together into one magnificent, complete reality. That is Tchiyas HaMesim. Not just people getting up from their graves. Everything that Hashem ever pumped into existence, returning in its purified, eternal form. As the Leshem explains, it is not just people that will stop dying. It is that nothing will die. Everything that Hashem ever streamed into existence will become eternal. By having its outer shell of physicality removed, the facade of temporality stripped away, leaving only the eternal spiritual core. Tchiyas HaMesim means we will exit time itself. We step out of the dimension of time into timelessness, into eternity. Before Hashem created the world, there was no concept of time. And Tchiyas HaMesim is a return to that timeless eternity. But now, enriched by all the Torah, all the mitzvahs, all the avodah of 6,000 years. In the secret of Kabbalah, the Arizal teaches about Shviras HaKelim, the shattering of the vessels at the beginning of creation. Divine sparks of the infinite fell into the physical world, fragmenting and hiding within the material realm. All of creation, every piece of food, every animal, every rock and river and ray of sunlight contains within it a divine spark, a nitzaitz, yearning to return to its source. Halois hanitzaitzais, lifting the sparks is our mission. When we eat food with proper intent and use that energy to serve Hashem, we lift the spark from that food back to its source. When a Jew learns Torah, the energy of the lamp is sanctified. When a person performs an act of chesed, the energy of every action and word is elevated. This is not poetry. This is the actual cosmic mechanism. The Kabbalistic language describes it precisely. Hashem sends down mad, mayim, duchrin, the masculine energy of divine influence flowing downward, and we respond with man, mayim, nukvim, the feminine energy of yearning and effort that sends it back upward. Everything is from you, and we are returning to you what you gave us. Isaruse. The la'ela, the arousal from above, is arusa de l'tata, the response from below. And aloas de tzitzis is synonymous with mechaya mesim. Every spark that is lifted is a resurrection. Every act of Torah and avoide is an act of resurrection. We are engaged in the world of tchias ha-mesim at every moment. And what about the sparks that are not lifted through Torah and mitzvahs? What about sin? What about the divine energy that gets trapped in a world of klipa, of spiritual impurity? The answer is, it doesn't stagnate. Nothing stagnates. The world is a machine that never stops moving. Sin triggers consequences automatically, inevitably, with the precision of a cosmic law. Sin triggers wars, it triggers plagues, it triggers natural disasters, hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, forest fires. Hashem deliberately built into the world its susceptibility to these catastrophes, not out of cruelty, but out of infinite wisdom and love, because these consequences, these yisurim, these sufferings, are themselves the form of resurrection. They automatically clean the sin, they strip away the klipa, they return the trapped energy back to holiness, back to eternity. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is pointless. Every earthquake, every plague, every moment of suffering, as incomprehensible as it is to us, in the moment, is the universe's refusal, Hashem's refusal, to allow any part of Hashem's creation to simply die and disappear. The Yisurim force the transformation. They complete the sanctification. They are, in their terrible way, an act of love. This is why the universe never stops moving. The earth produces food. The sun produces energy. Food becomes animal. Animal becomes sustenance for human. Human uses that energy to serve Hashem and sanctify it. Or if he sins, the Yisurim complete the process. Everything always moving towards sanctification, moving towards Tchias HaMesin. Ramban in Koheles teaches us on the Pasuk in Azinu. Hatzur Tomim Pa'aloi. Hashem's creation is perfect and complete. Nothing from creation is ever destroyed. It merely sheds one form and takes on another. Matter becomes gas, gas becomes matter. Energy from the sun becomes plant, plant becomes food, food becomes flesh. Poishit Tzure V'loivish Tzure. It sheds one form and puts on another. Even in death, decomposition is not destruction, it's transformation. The body returns to the earth, and the cycle continues. And at Tchias HaMesim, the Neshama will wrap a new body around itself, drawing from the minerals of the earth, as it once drew from the nutrients in its mother's womb. Same Neshama, but a new purified body, and the same person. A fascinating question arises, and the Kedushas Levi discusses it in Parashas Veschanan, at the end of the Parasha, Shabbos Nachmu. If we have lived many lifetimes, Gilgulim, reincarnations, then which Gilgul gets up at Tchias HaMesim? The you from this life, the you from a previous Gilgul, all of them. The Kedushas Levi answers that one completed unified entity assembled from the spiritual contributions of all the Gilgulim together will arise for Tchias HaMesim. Each individual Gilgul contributed something to the completion of the soul. The final resurrection is of the complete, perfected, integrated neshama, the whole product of the entire journey across lifetimes. It's a profound answer. No lifetime is wasted. Every Gilgul adds to the whole. And at Tchias HaMesim, the complete you, enriched by every life you lived, will arise. At Tchias HaMesim, dying and murder won't be possible. Because just like today, that a wound is healed, it scabs over, and a broken bone heals itself. At Tchias HaMesim, the neshama is so bound at the guf that everything would heal instantaneously, and death would never be possible. Let us now step back and see the breathtaking whole. Hashem created a world that appears to run on its own, but is in fact streaming with fresh divine energy at every moment. Every pulse of that energy is precious. Not one drop of it will be lost. Klal Yisrael, through Torah, Mitzvah, and Mesiras Nefesh, is engaged at every moment in the holy work of returning that energy to its source and crystallizing it into eternity. When we do Torah, we lift sparks. When we pray, we lift sparks. When we perform chesed, we lift sparks. When we suffer with emunah, our yisurim lift the sparks that our actions couldn't reach. And when all has been accomplished, when all 6,000 years of energy have been gathered and sanctified, suddenly the concealment will lift. The great masterpiece, painted stroke by stroke over 6 millennia, will be unveiled, and we will see it for the first time in its entirety. Every act of Torah, every prayer, every tear, every moment of joy in a mitzvah, every sacrifice, all forming one magnificent, unified, eternal whole, as Shir HaShirim promises. Am Yisrael will stand in an eternal loving embrace with the Ribbono Shel Olam, cleaving to the source of all existence in a union of love and knowledge beyond anything we can imagine from within this world. This is Tchiyas HaMeisim, the entire point, the reason for everything, the purpose for which Hashem created the world, for which we were placed in it, and for which every moment of every day, in joy and in suffering, we are continuously working towards. Yakiru, the Yedu, Kol Yoshe Seveil, all inhabitants of the world will recognize and know. The Yoy Makalash and Neshomba Ba'apoy Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, Umalchusoi, Ba'koy Moshalo, and every creature that has a soul within it will declare Hashem, the God of Klal Yisrael, is King, and His sovereignty rules over all. That day is coming, that is Tchiyas HaMeisim. May we be Zoiche, B'mheiro, B'yomeinu.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.